This Bible talk, titled I Am the Door, is on John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. It's a talk from our series on the I Am sayings of Jesus in John's Gospel, and it was recorded at Ravenna on Sunday, the 12th of September 2021. Well, friends, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Imagine that you were born blind, born into a society that had little regard or assistance or even time for disability. Imagine stumbling your way through life, struggling with everyday tasks. Imagine how vulnerable and frustrated that you would feel. Imagine how exposed you would feel. Occasionally you might overhear people speaking about you, people wanting to understand why you've been born that way, and then you'd hear that most of them blamed you. You must have sinned to deserve this kind of life. One day there's a commotion in the street, you head outside, you realise that a crowd is gathering. A man you don't know, you've never met before, you've never heard, speaks to you before he smears some mud on your eyes and then tells you to go and wash it off. And when you do, you can see. Perfect sight. Crystal clear. 20/20 vision. Friends, just imagine the joy and celebration. Imagine the sheer delight and relief. But rather than celebrate with you, everyone around you wants to argue about what's happened. There's no joy, there's no excitement, there's just interrogation and distrust. Well, friends, these are the scenes that unfold for us in John chapter 9. A man born blind, miraculously healed by Jesus. But rather than being met with joy and delight, the chapter actually records for us a growing discontent, an investigation and interrogation unfolds. Just come back in your Bible with me to John chapter 9 and have a look at verse 10. People in the crowd say to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" And he answers, "The man called Jesus, he made mud and he anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and I washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. And so the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." Isn't that an extraordinary response to what's happened for this man? Formerly blind, healed by Jesus, and the Pharisees say, "This man is not from God." The focus then switches to Jesus himself, the one who performed the miracle, chapter 9, verse 28. They reviled him, saying, "You are his disciples, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God had spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes." Verse 34, they answered him, "You were born in utter sin. And would you teach us?" And they cast him out. What a day that man had. The most incredible thing that happened in that man's life, only for an interrogation that ends with the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the religious elite, just dismissing him, casting him out. Rather than celebrating this great miracle, they insult and they insinuate and they interrogate. And chapter 9 actually closes with us wondering, Perhaps that blind man wasn't the only blind man in John chapter 9. And so, friends, it's against this backdrop, it's with this dispute in mind, that Jesus utters the next two I am statements. Seven times in John's gospel, Jesus claims to be I am, and each time that he does, he's revealing more and more about himself. He's showing us who he really is and what he's come to do. And so against the backdrop of this man who was born blind, this man who can now see, Jesus declares to the crowd, I am the door. And a little bit later on, and perhaps a bit more famously, I am the good shepherd. This week we're going to unpack I am the door. Next week, I am the good shepherd. But before we go any further, it's worth thinking a little bit together about shepherding. For most of us, we are city slickers. The closest we've come to a fluffy sheep is at a show. You might have watched a shearing demonstration as a kid, but that's probably about it. And so when Jesus begins to talk about shepherds and sheep and all of that sort of stuff, we don't immediately grasp his imagery. Either we insert our own image into a scenario, and perhaps it's kind of a picture of an Australian sheep station, a sheep station so massive with so many sheep, it's actually so hard to even comprehend. Or we go the other way and we imagine gentle Jesus, meek and mild, tender and kind and caring, perhaps a little bit fluffy himself, perhaps even a little bit weak. But that's not the picture of biblical shepherding at all. Not only does it actually ignore the reality of shepherding in Jesus' day, it also ignores the shepherd imagery that we see in the Old Testament. Here are just a few examples. Psalm 80, verse 1 to 3, the words will be up on the screen, says, give ear, O shepherds of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we might be saved. God is described as the great shepherd of Israel, one who leads and is enthroned and is mighty, mighty to save. And friends, that is not a shepherd who is tender and fluffy and weak. This is a shepherd who rules and reigns and fights and saves. Perhaps the best Old Testament passage to look at about shepherding is an example of bad shepherding. Come with me in your Bibles to Ezekiel 34. The words won't be on the screen. This is where you will need your Bible in front of you. It is such a significant passage. I just wanted to pick up on some of the themes that are in it. Ezekiel 34. If you don't have a Bible in front of you, just follow along as I read it. Chapter 34, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over the mountains, over every high hill. My sheep were scattered over the face of the earth, and none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely, because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. Isn't that an extraordinary passage? See, the religious leaders of Israel were God's under-shepherds. God was their great shepherd, but those leaders were supposed to care for the flock. And they failed miserably. They fed themselves rather than the sheep. They failed to strengthen the weak or help the lost or protect them from wild beasts. They ruled with harshness, with force. But the people, God's sheep, they scattered. And so God has set his face against them. He is against those under-shepherds. He will put a stop to them. He is determined to rescue his sheep. And friends, we can't read a passage like that and think about fluff, can we? There's no weakness, there's no tenderness, there's no gentleness, just an absolute determination to judge and to save. And so friends, as Jesus talks back in chapter 10 of John's Gospel, as he talks of doors and gates and shepherds and sheep, let's not be romantic and perhaps even a little bit childish with the image of shepherding. Instead, friends, let's really hear the shepherd speak. So come back to John 10. Let's look at that passage together. John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. The Pharisees have just cast out the now seeing blind man. And Jesus identifies the problem. There are people in the sheepfold who shouldn't be there. The only one who should be in the pen with the sheep is the shepherd. Anyone else is a thief or a robber. Anyone else is someone with bad intentions, someone who is against the sheep, someone who only wants to steal and to get for themselves. They haven't come in through the door. They've climbed in some other way. It's hard to overstate here just how shocking this is. If you've kind of grown up in Christian circles, we are trained from a young age to boo at the Pharisees, like we're in some kind of pantomime. They are almost comical villains to us in the Gospels. But they were incredibly respected, even revered in Jesus' day. They were watched, they were honoured, they were admired, they were esteemed. And to someone like that, Jesus says, these men are thieves and robbers. Listen to the contrast between the Pharisees and the shepherd. Verse 2. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. It's a really beautiful image, isn't it? The shepherd is known by the sheep, and the shepherd knows the sheep. He calls them by name. He goes before them and he leads them. Again, that's not quite our picture of shepherding, isn't it? We often picture a shepherd of someone coming along, perhaps with a sheepdog, and rounding up the sheep coming behind them to push them forward. But this is the shepherd. This kind of shepherd leads from the front. The shepherd leads and the sheep follow. And again, notice the contrast that the thief, the robber, they've only come to take. They don't know how to care for the sheep. They're only in it for themselves. But the shepherd actually cares. And so he calls and leads and protects and provides. The sheep actually recognize his voice. Not only is that a kind of stunning contrast between the two, but that is a withering indictment on the Pharisees. Far from being lauded and praised and honoured and respected, Jesus is telling the crowds, these men who have just cast out that blind man, these men are like the under-shepherds of Ezekiel 34. They don't protect the sheep, they take instead. They don't feed the sheep, they steal. And remember, God has set his face against that kind of leader. Rather than celebrating with the man who can now see, instead all they did was wanted to interrogate and tear down and cast out. Rather than expressing great joy at the wonderful miracle of sight, they spoke harshly. And so Jesus identifies who they really are. They are strangers and robbers and thieves. And so they too don't hear the voice of the shepherd. Friends, it's worth pausing for a moment and asking the obvious question. How are you going hearing the voice of Jesus? In a world of competing voices, in a world that is shouting to us all the time, in a world that is drowning everything out with just noise, friends, how are you going listening to Jesus? The shepherd is known by the sheep and he knows them. Friends, he calls us by name. Are you listening to his voice? We live in extraordinary times and amongst an extraordinary amount of noise. Daily press conferences, bickering amongst our political leadership, social media in overdrive, competing claims for truth, rumours and gossip and influences and a news media that is driven by agenda rather than the truth. Is it any wonder that most of us feel anxious? And I wonder if that anxiety that most of us are feeling is perhaps because we are listening too much to the world and not listening enough to the Lord Jesus. So perhaps in the week ahead, let me encourage you, rather than tuning in at 10 a.m. or scouring social media for the latest set of numbers and clusters and lockdown announcements, how about we try instead listening to what Jesus has to say? A couple of days ago, Mike shared with me some stats that in churches like ours, all around the place, attendance and finances are down 25%. And in churches with an older congregation than we typically have here, it's probably down 35%. Have a look around. Things aren't as they used to be. Not only are we wearing masks and all sitting spaced apart, but we have brothers and sisters who are no longer with us. People who are no longer listening to the voice of the shepherd. That should grieve us and spur us on. Friends, the Lord Jesus is the one who protects and provides and supplies and sustains. Everyone else out there is take, take, take. Listen to him. Verse 3, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. But as usual, the people just don't get it. Verse 6, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. This wasn't uncommon, and so Jesus knows what to do. He changes tack. He changes the figure of speech to make himself clearer. Verse 7, so Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Again, it might be a bit of an image that confuses us. We often think of a farm gate, the door, and wonder, how on earth is Jesus like that? Is he, I don't know, like the hinge, or is he the crossbar bit, or is he the lock? It's none of that. A sheep pen in Jesus' day would have looked something like this on the screen. You might notice there's no gate. There's no door. That is because the shepherd himself is the door. He sits and he sleeps, he blocks that open passage. He puts his body on the line and becomes the door himself. Once the sheep are safely inside the sheepfold, he physically shuts them in with himself. So with that in mind, reread verse 9. Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." It's kind of just stunning in its simplicity, isn't it? See, friends, the religious leaders, they wanted to take, to steal, to destroy, but Jesus is our door. In him is salvation. Through him we go in and out. He protects us. He puts himself on the line for us. He's the one who takes us out to pasture. In his great kindness and mercy, he provides for us, for all of our needs. And again, what a contrast that is in that final verse, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. It's such a stunning contrast, isn't it? Death or abundant life? Destruction or life to the full? That man born blind was given a picture of abundant life, given the gift of sight. He gets a foretaste of the kind of life that Jesus provides. And because of it, he's battered by those who only want to steal and kill and destroy. But now he gets what it means to live life to the full. Friends, I often think we doubt the words of Jesus here. I think we doubt this claim to abundant life. Because we so easily listen to the voices of the world rather than listen to the voice of our shepherd, we're not quite sure about this whole abundant life thing. And so we worry that other people must have better lives than we do. We envy non-Christians for the kind of life that they live. We might watch our neighbours and our friends and we rate ourselves against them. Sometimes life is just hard and a grind and it doesn't seem abundant at all. Abundant life, life to the full, doesn't seem to make sense when we have a cancer diagnosis or when we're gripped by anxiety or when we're out of work or when we're in relationships that are just hanging together by a thread. And so we are racked with doubt, or worse, we disbelieve. Friends, if that's you this morning, I want you to consider this image of Jesus afresh. Hear the voice of your shepherd. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. He's your shepherd. He calls you by name. He knows you inside and out, and he loves you. Friends, he leads you and we follow. You know his voice. He is your door. He protects and he shelters. And he provides for you. He sits in that gap and he shuts you in. He takes you in, he takes you out. He takes you to abundant pasture. While others are out to drag you down and to destroy you, he is the one who saves you. Friends, the Lord Jesus came that you may have life and have it abundantly. An abundant life in this life and in the one to come. I want to urge you, I want to implore you, stop listening to the world, friends, and listen to his voice. Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, our Shepherd, the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you that when your under-shepherds, when the religious leaders turned their back on the sheep, that you were determined to come and to protect and to save your flock. Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus is indeed our shepherd. We thank you that he calls us by name, that he knows us, and he loves us. Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus leads us and protects us and provides for us, gives us shelter. That he is the one who takes us in and out to the good pastures. Father, help us this morning to hear his voice afresh. In a world with competing voices and claims and noise, we pray that in this week ahead, we would indeed stop listening to the world and instead listen to his voice. Father, comfort us and protect us and encourage us with the great truth that anyone who enters by the Lord Jesus will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Thank you that in the Lord Jesus we have life, abundant life. Help us, we pray, as we leave here this morning, as we head out into a noisy world around us. Help us to live out that abundant life that you have called us to. Help us to follow the Lord Jesus wherever he leads. We pray this in his mighty name. Amen.